months of 1888. At that time, Holmes had kept his distance, thinking in a brown study, but never leaping to his feet with a quarry in his sights. I, and others of my profession and acquaintance, convinced the killer was a medical man, or a man of science, awaited such a move most hopefully, but it had never come. Perhaps it was that these squalid, meaningless murders were unworthy of Holmes, the creations of pathology rather than the superior intellects he was used to matching wits with. Indeed, at this time the killer was being bolder than ever, seen running from the scenes of his crimes, heard laughing, noted by many observers as being dressed like a gentleman. It was as if he had decided to live up to the inflated accounts of himself that were the lifeblood of the Penny Dreadfuls. And such arrogance in the face of the law would, all thought now, surely sooner or later lead to arrest. It was astonishing that the police had not caught him already, leading me to think that there was perhaps another dimension to this man and his deeds, a dimension that would be a matter for my friend's intellect. It was with this in mind, eager to discover Holmes's thoughts on this matter, that I returned to his rooms a week or so after Mrs. Hudson's visitation. And my finger was on the bell when something made me turn. Perhaps there had been a sound. If there was, I cannot recall hearing it. There was only darkness against darkness in the building overlooking my friend's rooms on the other side of Baker Street. But by one particular window, the shape of that darkness had changed. And I give myself credit for my actions now. I looked back to the door I stood in front of and pressed the bell, for all the world as if I had only been breathing deep of the late November air. I waited, my senses stirred to a pitch of battle, as Billy opened the door and bade me enter, and even waited a moment as he closed the door behind me. Then, without shedding my coat and hat, I ran up the stairs to my friend's room that faced onto the street, ran like the devil was on my heels. The light of the lamp was on. I could hear Billy crying out behind me. I burst into the room. "Holmes!" I shouted. The shot came through the open window. It blew the stuffing out of the pillow that stood atop the hatstand. I threw myself to the floor and bellowed as Billy opened the door. "Stay there, boy!" But the boy entered the room, breathing not only from his run, but from the emotional faith that my friend inspires in all those who know his methods.
"Mr. Holmes's compliments, sir," he said. "And could you be joining him on the top floor of the house opposite? The door is open."
I was later to discover that the round that had passed through the window had flattened itself against the hardwood of one of Holmes's bookshelves barely an inch from my ear. And the intuition of that fact followed me down the stairs and into the street. I took a moment to catch my breath before venturing into the second-rate townhouse opposite. I found Holmes standing at the window of what looked like it had once been a library or a study similar to his own. Beside him lay a rifle of extraordinary construction. It was a slim beast with sights the memory of which even now confounds me. "Good Lord, Holmes," I said, "what has happened here? Was I the target, or—" "No, Watson, it was I. I had become aware of certain trends within the underworld, a movement of Cubans through the docks, Italians and Bolsheviks, so I contrived a trap, as I did once before. However, somehow our assassin has contrived to elude me, and I am at a loss to explain how." He listened with interest to my account of being shot at. "A second assassin in one of the other houses, while the promise of a first lured me here. The aim from this window covers the street. See? It is impossible to fire successfully through my study window from here." "So I was their target." "If you truly were, old friend, I suspect you would be dead. No, this is a feint, a poke in the ribs. And from someone who knows of our history, eh? You've mentioned the incident I referred to in your accounts, have you not?" I allowed that I had. Holmes directed me to examine the weapon. I must confess I flinched at the sudden closeness its extraordinary sights provided. "Holmes, this rifle, I've never seen the like." "No," said Holmes, his eyes locked on the distance. "Neither have I." I stayed with him over the next 2 days.